Hello, my name is Alvin Day, and I would like to welcome you to the audio version of the book Persuasion Power, Mastering the Science of Successful Selling. In order to learn more about this and other books, plus audio and video products, please visit the website www.alvinday.com. That's A-L-V as in Victor, I-N-D-A-Y.com. And now, Persuasion Power, Chapter 1. So you hate to sell. Perfect. That's the right starting point. If you do not like selling, you could be just the right person to reach the masses of people who love to shop but hate to be sold. Learn how to reach them, and that will make you a fortune. How do I know? Well, here's how the story goes. When I was in school, I studied business because I knew it offered lots of career choices. But I had a problem. When I graduate, would I choose marketing, finance, human resources, or some other area? I had no idea. The only thing I knew for sure was that I absolutely did not want to go into sales. Who wants the confrontation, the conflict, the rejection? And after all, isn't a salesperson really a lower life form compared to all the other elegant creatures that run businesses? Now, can you guess which career I chose? Let me ask the question this way. When a massive multinational corporation offered me that great salary with company car and expense account, and I said yes, can you guess the kind of job that it was? Sales, of course. And yet, did my dislike for sales go away just because of all the perks and the money? No way. I hated selling, and furthermore, I was not even very good at it. My first job as a sales representative was to push shampoos and toothpaste and deodorants and other health and beauty aids to store managers. Over the years, I have sold all sorts of products and services. I've been kicked out of countless retail stores, reprimanded, cursed, insulted, and shunned by people who did not want to buy what I was selling. As an encyclopedia salesman going to college in Wisconsin, I have had people slam doors in my face and close window curtains when they saw me going up on their porch. In building a network marketing business, I've had my friends reject me and tell me how low I was stooping. So is there a good side to this story? For most of my career, I have not loved sales, nor have I been particularly good at it. And despite that, I have earned a fortune, I've won competitions, I've gained spectacular recognition, and I've experienced tremendous personal growth that makes me a better person all around. Could it be that loving or hating sales is not the central issue? What's important here is that I did not begin to experience all those benefits until I learned one simple truth. The truth is that the best salespeople do not sell. In this book, we will explore the ways in which the masters in the selling game achieve success without being pushy, without being high pressure, or in any other way violating the expectations of potential clients and customers. I only began to enjoy the work that I was doing in sales after I discovered that there is another way to provide ideas, goods, and services to people and to businesses in a way that does not conform to the traditional stereotype of what a salesperson is. Think about it. What does selling mean to you? Doesn't it give the feeling of a person pushing or convincing you to buy something that people want you to buy, that they, the salespersons, desire for you to have? So what about you and what you want? I have found myself in that situation before, where a salesperson's desire seems to be more important than my own desires. There I was, for example, minding my own business at home one day when the phone rang. A very skilled salesperson engaged me in a discussion about the dangers of not knowing the information that's on my credit report. I said I was not interested. He said, "I understand, sir. And I just want to help you avoid one of the biggest dangers that people face today. That one day you wake up and you find that you cannot use your charge card, buy a house, or get a bank loan." This is a free, no obligation offer to help you take a monthly look at your credit report and ensure that no big bad company messes up your credit. Besides, if there's a problem, we can help you clear it up immediately as you report it to us. He went on and he went on about the benefits. Now, I'm a polite person and I do not like to hang up the phone on people. So I let him talk on for a while, looking for a crack for a moment when he would pause so that I could say, "I'm not interested, sorry." But saying no to such a person was like putting fuel on a flame. And so as I continued listening, I finally thought to myself, you know, maybe I'm just being irrational. The salesman is making some good points about security and about my responsibility for my own safety. Perhaps I was passing up a good thing. After all, if I get the first monthly report that he's offering, it will come for free. And then I could always cancel later on and avoid the subscription that would cost me $9.95 a month. I ended up subscribing to a service that I did not know that I needed only 5 minutes before. I got off the phone and I felt rotten inside. Tell me the truth. Hasn't something like that ever happened to you? And in my case, with the credit report, wouldn't you agree that the person on the phone was a good salesman? So how is it that the experience made me feel so badly? The answer is, I had just been sold something. I was just convinced. I was just effectively bombarded by superior communication skills and key benefits. My resistance to garbage was just overcome, and I ended up buying the bag of trash. Imagine that you want to buy a hammer. You go to a department store such as Sears in an attempt to get a hammer. You pay the money and you leave the store with what you want. Did the store have to sell you? Certainly, it could be said that the transaction of exchanging money for product is a sale. But you willingly made that exchange because you wanted the hammer. The store does not have to sell you on something that you want. On the other hand, imagine that as you are walking down the aisle toward the hammers, you are stopped by a lady who tries to convince you to buy a fabulous sewing machine. Now, it is entirely possible that you could want a sewing machine. But what are the odds, especially at this moment when you have hammer on your mind? She tells you that you can get a great discounted price today. She shows you the finest sewing designs. She illustrates the cross-stitching and how impeccable it is. She asks you some personal questions to determine the kinds of functions that you would use most frequently in a machine. At this point, how are you feeling? Based on her sell job, do you really want a machine right now? Or do you secretly wish that 1,000 fleas would infest her armpits and make her run off to a private place and scratch herself? When you say you do not like to sell, I understand. Selling has become a dirty word in the industry. Say that you're a salesperson and in many people's minds you are seen as a peddler who uses high-pressure tactics and convinces people to buy things they do not want. Telemarketers, used car salespeople, timeshare vacation sellers, all suffer from this stereotype and it does nothing to help the industry or to help their business. Please understand, I'm not trying to say to you that it is wrong to sell a product or service that brings some benefits. I'm not saying that all aggressive salespeople are the scum of the earth. I'm sure that their mothers still love some of them. All I'm saying is that in the minds of the average customers, the perception of selling has been tainted, and sometimes for good reasons. If you are nothing but a salesperson to your customer, you are a negative force in his or her life, and you would be amazed at how often people would wish that your armpits were infested with 1,000 fleas and that you would go off somewhere and scratch yourself and leave them alone. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. Untouched by the negative stereotypes, the most successful salespeople quietly churn out bonuses and pay increases and recognition on a routine basis. What are the secrets of the super salespersons that make six-figure incomes and retain customers that still love them? Is that possible, you may ask? Yes. It is not only possible, it is happening routinely for some people, while others struggle in a world of antagonism, rejection, and self-doubt. Too many salespeople hate what they do for a living. They despise the word no, and they cannot stand the pressure of quotas and budgets and goals. Given all the negative impressions we have discussed so far, let me say a word here in support of what is possibly the most underrated of all businesses in industry. Stop kidding yourself. This is something great. Are you like I was? Do you sometimes think the sales business is only for lower life forms? That the other disciplines of business are more elegant than sales? Then if so, consider this. The greatest business on earth is to provide goods and services that people want so much that they are willing to give money in exchange for the acquisition. You may regard this point as arguable, but let's examine it for a moment. The heart of the free enterprise system throbs every time someone buys something. When this transaction occurs, the fuel that runs the economy gets ignited. You may never have noticed this before, but the implications are vast and varied. When money is exchanged for a good or service, typically profit is generated, the money that is left over after all costs and expenses are covered. With that profit from the sale of products and services, parents send children to schools, people pay their bills, families move into safer neighborhoods. The bored or distressed find entertainment, the hungry acquire food, a man buys roses for his sweetheart, the list continues without end. Nothing else that happens in your company or business comes close in comparison to the sales function. Do you see that? The work of manufacturing and production is rendered completely irrelevant if no sale takes place. The people who do marketing research, strategic planning, research and development, they are just playing stupid games with themselves if no product or service ever gets sold. Logistics and distribution simply move around piles of junk if nobody pays to buy what they deliver. Finance is completely out of business without the sale. Without the sale, even management and the executive team are meaningless figureheads presiding over a Monopoly board game. Name one business, one function or discipline that does not face quick extinction unless the sale takes place. Human resources? Office administration? Legal? Janitorial service? Name one. What is the point? I contend that there is no function in a profit-driven business organization that is more important than the sales function. Now, do you desire to discover one of the secrets of the great salespeople who move from success to greater success? Here it is. In order to overachieve and reap abundant rewards, you must adopt a different mental attitude about your business. Stop kidding yourself. Own up to the critical importance of the function you perform. Decide today to feel a sense of confidence about what you do. Never be apologetic about your role, whether your ware that you are offering is soap, or food, or cell phone services, or nutritional supplements, security, clothing, houses, or sewing machines for that matter. If you are in the sales business, you are the persuasive power that makes your business meaningful and effective. All other disciplines have their place and their importance, but none of them is more important than yours. The secret of the superstars begins with an attitude, an internal conviction that you matter, that you are the hub of the wheel that spins industry into motion. You just know the products and services you represent bring benefits and fulfill desires. You believe that what you are doing is good. When you begin to feel that quiet confidence and you stand before a client or a prospect or a customer, everything changes. You project assurance and certainty that bring comfort to the prospective buyer. Your tone reflects yes. Your words convey that it is all right to buy. Your results improve and rejection does not matter as much as it previously did. If you desire to find great success in the sales business, consider an observation that I have found repeatedly true in my experience and in my study of people. Here it is. Success begins as an internal condition that later manifests on the outside of you. Besides being important in the business world, sales is great for another important reason. There is no other work quite like it, unless you are the kind of person who loves to sit back behind a desk and do the same thing over and over, day after day and year after year. What am I saying? If you are in research or human resources or logistics or some other non-sales related function, chances are likely that you are not always sure about how well you are doing. Your performance feedback is sluggish and it depends on some sort of bureaucratic process. A process that's charged with subjectivity, with bias, and with personal preference. In the sales business, you get instant feedback. Your customers buy or they don't. You achieve your numbers or you don't. You are immediately motivated or you are redirected by your results or your lack of results. If you value immediate feedback, if you love variety in your work, if you relish the unpredictable and you want to have huge upward potential in your income, being in the business of sales is downright exhilarating. How do I know? Let me tell you a story. One day, as a salesman working for Procter & Gamble in my early 20s, right out of college, I found myself driving from Flint, Michigan to a sleepy little town just east of Lapeer, Michigan to sell more shampoos, more deodorants, and more toothpaste to Kroger store number 111. I was not feeling very good that morning. I was behind in my call schedule. I was stressed by the time pressure. My trip was taking me far away from the mainstream businesses that I had in Flint, Michigan. I was going off into the boondocks way off to the east side, and I was not sure that my customer was going to buy when I arrived. What if I were taking that entire trip for nothing? That had happened before. The truth was, I would rather soak my boss's head in the river than to join this road and the traffic and the frustration and go to the fringe of nowhere. And then a thought struck me. Have you ever had one of those occasions when you stopped and simply saw yourself in the moment? I saw myself free of office politics and bureaucracy. I was calling the shots that day on who I'd visit, how long I'd spend, what work I would do in the stores. And then as I was thinking about that, I looked up. I was outside, not in a business office with the sky hidden by some ceiling. I saw the sky. It was bright. It was beautiful. Not a cloud was visible. I was driving a new company car. I had an expense account. I could stop and put gas in the car and do whatever I needed, and the company would cover it. If I really pushed myself, I could earn a big bonus if I chose to just do a little bit more. I was free, and life was good. For the first time, I realized that the sales business from which I had tried to run was the best business in the world. Most office staff, most managers, and even vice presidents are stuck in a world where the boss is two doors down. Fresh air is available only at lunchtime. And you miss the donut cart if you're not available between 9:30 and 9:40 a.m. This is not the case for the majority of people in the sales business. In fact, I liked my job when I was on the road taking care of my customers, running hither and yon, and calling the shots myself. But then I did so well at it that I got promoted and I got moved into headquarters where the central office was and the politics and the bureaucracy were, and I began to dislike the job after getting promoted and after attaining success. Suddenly, I had bosses close by, not boss, but bosses close by, Rigid timetables were over me. Office politics had to be sidestepped. When I was directly in the sales business, I loved the call of the open road where all that mattered for the moment was what was good for my customers. And it hardly matters what is being sold. At the core, the principles that cause a customer to give money gladly in exchange for goods and services are exactly the same if you work in corporate sales, network marketing sales, insurance sales, real estate, or some other area. Your context and your conversations may vary, but become proficient in the principles and strategies outlined in this book, and you can build massive success for yourself and your company. That is, so long as your product or service meets the basic required standards of quality and value. So the name of the book is Persuasion Power: Mastering the Science of Successful Selling. And what's so scientific about that? Persuasion power claims to represent a methodology and a process that is, in fact, scientific. Think about it. The word science does not refer to something that's complicated or technical or difficult. Instead, it is merely a process for uncovering knowledge. In fact, if you look in Webster's New World Dictionary, here's how it defines science. Quote, systematized knowledge derived from observation, study, and experimentation carried on in order to determine the nature or principle of what is being studied. Unquote. Furthermore, in this same book, this same dictionary, the synonyms that are given for scientific include the words exact and clear. The book Persuasion Power, this book, will give you the exact steps to make the selling process clear, not complicated. This book represents the culmination of 25 years of observation, study, and experimentation, which are the words that we found in Webster's when we looked up scientific. Observation, study, and experimentation regarding what works and what doesn't work in the field of effective communication and persuasion. The foundation includes abundant information gathered from a variety of sources. Here are just a few examples. I have had the pleasure of training and leading masters in the selling game. When I was at Procter & Gamble, for example, I was managing a sales group. One of my representatives from that group frequently was ranked as number one across a national group of over 3,000 sales reps. Homer was a master. In my network marketing endeavors, one of my frontline distributors, directly downline from me, routinely ranked in the top 10 of over 150,000 representatives. He was a master in the selling game. I have been personally denied, and this is another set of qualifications that may seem a little strange at first. I've not only been denied, I have been shunned, I have been vilified, I have been rejected by people who refused to buy my ideas and products. I've also been thanked and praised and adored by people who bought my ideas and my products gladly. In my last corporate job, working for a division of the Bristol-Myers Squibb Company, I was personally awarded the position of Business Manager of the Year, despite having been in the company for just over 1 year, selling and providing selling tools for the sales organization. Yes, I intimately know the pain and the pleasure, the fear, and the fancy of the selling game. But more importantly, what this means for you is what's relevant in this moment. What promises can I make to you with regard to this selling game? So here's my promise to you. You will find approaches and techniques that can add zeros to your paycheck, regardless of your industry or your distribution system. It doesn't matter whether your occupation is to sell packaged goods to retailers, real estate services to clients, health supplements to families, or telephone services to customers. In the following chapters, you will learn the principles, approaches, and exact steps that have been captured from all these sources and more. 1. My own successes and failures in the sales business. 2. The brilliance and spectacular results of the masters that I've had the pleasure to know and coach. 3. the best and worst of sales organizations that I've counseled and coached across the world in more than a decade of management consulting. They range across different industries and categories, from Fortune 500 and multinational giants to small entrepreneurial endeavors and network marketers. If you are in sales right now and you love your work, then you are really going to enjoy our journey together. If you are in the sales business but you do not enjoy it, then you really need to complete this journey with us. Together, we will take a fresh and different look at the sales business and how to make it work for you. You will learn to sidestep the negative reputation of selling. In fact, you will stop selling in the traditional way. This will add propulsion, productivity, and prosperity to your sales business. And even if you do not work directly in sales, this book will show you how to be more persuasive in your normal communication. This is very exciting. How would you like to learn the approaches and techniques that make people want to say yes to you? Whether you're trying to negotiate a better price on a car, influence your child to do the right thing, convince your sweetheart to take you somewhere, or to sell your boss on giving you a raise, persuasion power will help you develop mastery and improve your results and your rewards. Come, let's take the journey together in the upcoming chapters. With regard to this first chapter, here is the bottom line. If you have anything to do with selling products or services to customers, clients, or prospects, chances are likely that at one time or another you have suffered from being poorly perceived because of your sales role. This perception is unnecessary if you adopt the ways of persuasion power. You will benefit from 1. A sense of quiet confidence, knowing that the selling profession is the most important function in any organization that generates revenue. It is the hub of the wheel that turns your economy into motion. 2. A set of principles and approaches you can apply to any business where people exchange money to satisfy their desires. 3. The ways of the masters who make huge incomes and regain the trust of customers lost by more aggressive salespeople. And these principles work even outside the selling context. They will enrich your interpersonal communication, your results, and your rewards in life, even if you never ever sign up to be in sales.